Jopp, and he's Barbecue Bob, and you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We have a bunch of fun every weekend. Hope you guys do too, and enjoy this banter that we have back and forth. And we've been talking about big old chunks of meat, and it's not a biography or an autobiography. This is all about what to do when you want to feed a bunch and you got a budget. So generally, this comes in the form of a big chunk of meat.
Yep.
And we talked about pork loins. Now we're going to go a little bit forward and talk about pork shoulders. They're often called Boston butts or pork butts, but it's really the front shoulder of the animal, right, Bob?
Yeah, it's the probably the most common used term in barbecue and the biggest joke in barbecue. Everybody has a cartoon about a butt, and the name of their barbecue team has something to do with the butt. People like to say butt. Butt.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. So,
but it really isn't a butt.
So a pork shoulder, your mother used to do it, right? She'd do it in a bake oven sort of thing.
I love her. Bless her heart. She's passed away, but she did not know how to do it.
No, she never
did. I mean, now that I know what I know, she tried, but she did exactly what you're describing.
Threw it in the oven?
Yeah.
But they weren't any good?
No.
Oh.
Because they weren't flavored or they weren't seasoned. And they, you know, that was, you know, I'm 54 years old. So this was 35 years ago, right?
They didn't even have salt back then. Right.
Well, they had, all they had was salt. And then she cooked it to death because she thought it was pork and you were going to get trichinosis.
Oh, yes.
So
right.
Everything that was pork,
you could. I got the sickle cell.
Right. You put the, you could make shoes out of it. It was so bad. But anyway.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, I didn't grow up with a big fondness of pork like I have now.
All right, well, so it's a huge piece of meat. It's a big chunk, real dense, lots of jokes in there too. But some folks don't have smokers, right?
Right.
So they're afraid of it. So here's what you do. Try this. So you buy the one that's boned, okay?
They come instead of boneless.
Instead of getting the bone out, and then you can flop it open and kind of finish separating it and opening it up. And then you can season all that territory on it because now you got a bunch of surface. And you can throw it lightly on your grill for an hour or so. And then you can throw it in a pot and finish it off either on the grill or in your oven or whatever with a little moisture and finish it off that way. But you can get some smoky goodness, some savory, if you will, on that, and then finish it off in the oven or on your grill in an indirect fashion, wrapped in foil or whatever you like to do. If you got a pot, Dutch oven, something like that, I had to say it.
And, nary a show goes by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you still get the savory flavor.
Right.
And that's a really nice way. I accidentally found out when I had to do one I was somewhere where I didn't have anything but a really crappy grill. Right. And, you know, sometimes that's what makes you better is when you're thrown into situations and they just look at you like, well, I know you know how to do this. Like,
right.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, for crying out loud, I didn't know Craco made a grill.
Right, yeah. So a couple things about this big hunk of pork shoulder. If you get it deboned, like Bob's describing, it is going to be opened up, creates a lot more surface area. I cover that stuff with garlic powder, not garlic salt, but a garlic powder on the inside, and then kind of put it back together. Now, when I season the outside, I usually use more of a sugar, paprika-based barbecue seasoning. But don't waste your seasoning on the fat cap, because you're going to pull that off there when you're done cooking this thing. And you're going to throw it away because nobody wants to eat that.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, if it's boned, they'll have taken most of that off anyway. So
it depends. You
won't even see much of that probably.
Yeah, it depends. I buy them at a variety of places depending on where you're at. Some of them will still have that fat cap on there. But regardless where you get them, if there's a fat cap on yours, you know, when I first started out, I would cover that thing with seasoning everywhere. Right. And then I realized after I did about, you know, I'm a slow learner, about a half a dozen of them. I'm like, man, I covered that whole top where that fat cap is with seasoning. And all I'm doing, the first thing I do when I take it off the smoker after it rests a little bit, is I pull that fat cap off and throw it in the trash.
Right.
Because nobody wants to eat that.
And I always put that fat cap on the bottom if I'm doing a whole butt. in the smoker. I always put those on the bottom anyway because I want that fat to reduce.
Right.
And it'll get the best heat there. And I...
You mean fat down rather than fat up when
fat
you set
down,
it on the rack? On the
just
rack.
Like a brisket.
Yeah.
I just had a guy on the Facebook page ask about the brisket.
Right.
And I said, yeah, fat down always.
Right.
Because it's taking more heat there. What you're trying to do is reduce that fat.
Right. Yep. And some people will say, well, I like it on top because it drizzles through the meat. No, it doesn't. It runs off. Okay. It's not going to drop through. It's going to run off. And so I agree with you. Fat side down when I'm cooking big chunks of meat on the grill.
You
or the
didn't
smoker.
Even comment. I just said on the Facebook page.
Well, I underdid. I, you know what? I didn't know. Maybe you had an epiphany and you got back on Facebook.
I thought I deleted
not.
My page and I looked it up. It's still running.
Right.
So I saw all these questions on the grilling guys page and I thought, man, I got to keep this stupid page because we got all these people following it for the show. So I don't want to not pay attention to them.
Funny.
So I'm just not going to put the app on my phone so I don't pay attention to the personal crap in the banter.
Well, there you
Are
go.
Are you with me, Mr. Fonger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you buy a pork shoulder with the bone in, you have a built-in indicator of when this thing is done.
Pops right out.
It pops right out, yeah. What you're looking at is a shoulder blade inside of this thing, and it's a big, thin piece of bone, but it's flat and wide, almost like a moose antler, but it's a shoulder blade is what it is. And when this pork butt or pork shoulder, as it may, that bone starts to show out of there, you're getting closer to being done. But, Bob, it's still all about temperature, isn't it? I mean, when are you pulling your pork butts? I know when I pull them, but what's your temp?
Well, if you're talking about a whole butt,
right,
with the bone in or bone out, but done up, smoked up, at regular, you know, intact, I'm going to pull it at 195.
Right. Now, here's the weird part about this. There's a phenomena that happens when you're cooking pork butt on a smoker, and it's called the stall. And there's got to be a physiological reason that this happens. I don't know what that is.
It's the fluid transfer.
But at about, 140, 145, this thing will come up from a cold piece of pork up to that temperature, that 140, 145, and it just stops getting hot.
I usually notice it at about 160.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems to be the magic number on my smoker.
Okay. So, but it'll sit there. It'll park
there. Very common problem.
Right. And then all of a sudden, how long does it usually
sit? It slingshots.
Yeah. It's like, it goes up.
You start daydreaming, and the next thing you know, it's 205, and you're done screwed it up, Jethro.
Right. Because if you get this pork butt over 200, it goes from the, you know, when you pull it, it kind of comes out in strings and in pieces. But if you get it over 200 degrees, it turns into this mealy mush.
And then you're not cooking like a real man.
Right. It's time for some man law. Now you're a man. A man, man, man. Now you're a man. A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Oh, you love a man today. Today's man law is so pertinent for Jop and I. If you spill a man's beer, you replace that beer.
End of discussion.
You will.
There's nothing to talk about.
And
there.
Don't even act like you didn't do it.
Right.
Be a man. Replace it.
We've all done it. We've all done it. But back to the pork butt.
No, back to spilling beer.
Right. Well, I spill some down my gullet and a little later today. But.
You know, speaking of beer, I found...
We're not talking about pork butt
No.
We're
beat
all done
that,
with that.
We beat that hog. Tennessee is exploding in the microbrew business.
Okay.
It's
so you were in Knoxville, if you just joined in.
Yeah.
Bob was in Knoxville this past week helping his kids move into their new home, which is exciting.
Yep.
But so where'd you...
My gosh. There's some awesome beer down there. And it's from Nashville all the way to Memphis, across to... You know, Tennessee is a long state. It's like... I think 500 miles long or something.
Right. Yeah, it's laid on its side. Yeah. Not tall, but long.
I don't think
right?
it's 500.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know.
It's big.
It's really long. And it's only like on the east end, it's only like 140 miles deep.
Right.
So you get through it quick if you're heading south.
It's like the flat on a brisket.
But if you're going to be in Knoxville and drive to Memphis, you better pack a lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't even have to. You got Nashville on the way.
Well, there's lots of places to eat lunch in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Good beer scene, though.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit of wild game and big chunks of that, whether we're doing a venison hind quarter or what it may be, but a little bit different techniques. You're listening to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. I've come to know there's life in hope.